Blog Talk Radio.
The world is a vampire. That's a drain. Secret destroyer. Hold you up to the flame. And what do I get? For my pain. A trait desire. And I.
Of iMac with your host, me, McCorley Matthew, and my co-host on the other line, Will Woolly Boy Remote. What's going on, Will? How's it going?
Hey, what's up, Mac? What's up, folks out there? How you all doing?
Yep, Saturday night, another iMac. If you guys want to call in and give your feedback or any opinions, you can call into the phone number here, which is 646-721-9904. Again, that's 646-721-9904. So, Will, the Super Bowl last week turned out to be one of the most lopsided Super Bowl games ever.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a good thing I didn't bet, because the whole country and me had the Broncos winning that game. But
oh, yeah.
Seahawks won it, and Seahawks are a better team, man. They dominated, and they had the better defense.
Man, you knew once that snap, that snap happened with, like, what, 12 seconds in the game, you know the ball game was going to be over for the Broncos, man. I mean, you know what was weird? They were in MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, but I heard that the Seattle fans really came out for the trip, you know, for history, since this is their first ever, you know, franchise, you know, Super Bowl win.
Yep.
You know, so they showed up, and they couldn't hear. Peyton admitted that they couldn't hear what was going on.
Well, I mean, the Broncos, man, they can't blame the fans. They have to blame themselves, because nobody on that team looked prepared to play that game last Sunday. I mean,
yeah, that was shocking. I was really shocked. You know, like I predicted, you know, on my show and your show, you know, this show, that Broncos was going to win by a touchdown.
Yeah, I thought they were going to win. The whole country thought they were going to win, man.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm happy for Seattle Seahawks, you know.
Yeah.
They never won a Super Bowl. And, of course, Russell Wilson, you know, he never won one, obviously, you know, since he's a second-year player. So
yeah.
It was great to see, you know. You know, it's always great to see teams that never win, you know, finally win one, as long as it isn't against your favorite team.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, congrats to the Seahawks winning their first ever franchise Super Bowl. And, you know, Broncos just didn't show up to play, and it's unfortunate. I mean, wanted to see Peyton Manning solidify his name in the history books.
Mm-hmm.
And get his second ring, but, I mean, he's still a Hall of Famer, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, of course. No doubt about that. I think this has to go up there with one of the biggest upsets in history, even though, I mean, we all know Seattle Seahawks was the best defense, you know, best defensive team, and obviously they're talented. They got Wilson and, you know, they're no slouch, but, you know, you beat one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time by, like, such a unbelievable, final score. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Well, it was definitely one of the most lopsided games in history. You know, 43-8. So yeah, it's crazy stuff. Crazy game, man. Good thing I didn't bet on it. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we all expected the Broncos to win, but the way how they just dominated the Broncos, it's like, my goodness. Only God knew that was going to happen. I mean, I don't even think Russell Wilson knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, that was done after that first snap.
Oh, yeah, basically.
After that, it was all Seahawks from there, so.
Man, before Bruno Mars even sang, you know, it was over.
Yep.
Hey, they might as well call it the Super Bowl post-game show.
Yeah.
Performance, because that game was over before you even performed.
Yeah, it was not a great game, but, you know, like I said, congrats to Seahawks. You know, they dominated that game, man.
First
ever Super Bowl. Yeah, well deserving.
Yeah, they're definitely not paper champions for sure, man. They really earned that victory for sure.
Oh yeah. You know, during the Super Bowl, of course, there's a lot of commercials that they that air. A lot of new commercials that, you know, these companies introduce. And there wasn't that many commercials that really stood out. I mean, there's a few that I can think about. There was, of course, the Full House with the John Stamos.
Yogurt.
The Danone yogurt, whatever.
Yeah, Bob Saget and Dave Coulier also were on that commercial.
Yep.
A little risque, you know.
It was, with the girl wiping the yogurt off of Uncle Jesse's lip.
Yeah, but that was even the most risque part.
What was the most risque?
I think it dropped on his pants, because everywhere it dropped, she wiped it off. So I think
right.
it dropped It dropped on his pants, and then I think it fell on the floor too. And then afterwards, then his full house castmates, basically, stopped him from,
making a mess.
Yeah, making it more of a mess.
Yeah.
But
it was good to see them back together. After
definitely.
Many years, full house.
Oh yeah. Not to mention they were recently in a Jimmy Fallon skit, which was, very hilarious.
Yeah, that was funny.
Mm.
I wish that they could have had, some of the other cast members, like Candace Cameron and Jodie Sweetin, the Olsen twins, but
maybe it's
they couldn't get them, But yeah, that was good.
Maybe they'll have another commercial, and
I hope so.
Have more Full House cast members in it.
Yeah, definitely. I hope so. And the other commercial, there was a Morpheus commercial. Morpheus was in the
IKEA. Right, right.
But he even sang opera in the commercial.
Yeah, I saw that.
What else? And the big commercial people are talking about is the Coca-Cola commercial. You heard about that, right?
Oh, right. The America the Beautiful one.
Yep, America Beautiful, and people are, mainly conservatives, really, are making a big deal that, the national anthem shouldn't be sung by different languages or different races.
Right,
America is, it's a melting pot. It's made up of different nationalities, different languages, different cultures.
Right.
I thought it was a beautiful commercial. I didn't see anything wrong with it.
I didn't see anything wrong with it either, but, there are some people who, who get sensitive over stuff, so.
Yeah. I mean, let me play it for you so you can see how beautiful it was.
So beautiful for spacious skies, for tus olas de granos ámbar, yo pishima tzakuti, yo ibaba na mga brut.
That was beautiful. I didn't see anything wrong with that. Did you?
No, I honestly didn't, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know why people got so sensitive about it, but, people are sensitive about a lot of stuff nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, it's nothing. It's a harmless commercial.
Yeah, they're just basically saying America the Beautiful in different languages.
Yeah, what's the big deal? Hmm. Well, because they're not American, because they don't sound American? Well, what is American, really? I mean,
for all we know, all of the people could have been American, but they just, sing in their language,
Exactly.
But then again, I mean, most likely it is, from different culture, different nations, because, Coca-Cola, it's the brand is worldwide. I mean, obviously it's an American brand, but it's, it transcends, worldwide now for like decades, I would say.
Right. I mean, I don't see any problem with it. All these damn people making a big deal should go jerk off.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but,
it's harmless, man, making a big deal out of it. Come on, it's a damn commercial. Get over it. You want to sue? Go sue. So sensitive these days. Wow. But it's talking about race. It's Black History Month.
Yep.
Yeah, and this is a month that we Black folks celebrate some of the heroes of our Black culture, Black community, and some people are celebrating Black History Month in the weird and awkward way. there's a Catholic school that decided to promote Black History Month in one of the most offensive ways you can do it. And listen to this.
New at 6 tonight, administrators at an East Bay school are facing tough questions and offering a big apology after a menu controversy. Recently, students at a private high school in Concord wanted to come up with ways to celebrate Black History Month during a lunchtime celebration. But when the school announced a lunch of fried chicken, cornbread, and watermelon, students and parents were outraged, not to mention offended. NBC Bay Area's Shaw Hurd is live in Concord with more on that story.
Well, Jessica, this happened here at the all-girls Crondelet High School in Concord. Someone called our station yesterday saying that there was a public announcement to students outlining what ended up being a very offensive menu. The principal and dean did not want to talk to us on camera, but they felt it was important enough to hold a general assembly here today, and they passed out this letter to parents and families who may have been offended. The dean of students told me today, we talked about it, there's no issue, and it's done. But the principal's letter to parents offers a deeper explanation on the issue. The letter is an apology to parents, admitting there was an announcement stating fried chicken, cornbread, and watermelon would be served at a Black History celebration on Friday in the cafeteria. The principal, Nancy Libby, said, quote, I'd like to apologize for the announcement and any hurt this caused students, parents, or community members. Please know that at no time at Crondelet do we wish to perpetuate racial stereotypes, and we intend to work diligently to do just the opposite. University of San Francisco professor Dr. James Taylor says, even though the lunch may have been well-intentioned, he can see why some students and teachers would be offended.
Chicken, watermelon, collard greens, these stereotypes of Black Southern culture come from the same place that the N-word comes from. This is not like this food represents some heroic moment in African-American experience. What it represents is the degradation and the stereotyping of African-Americans.
I also talked to several students off camera, and they tell me that the principal talked to members of the Black Student Union here, and they say that they would just like them to take the watermelon off the menu, and the principal agreed. I also talked to parents off camera, and they are hoping that this will become a teachable moment for everyone involved. Reporting live in Concord, I'm Cheryl Hurd, NBC Bay Area News.
Like, why would a school think that would be appropriate? And why don't they know people are going to be offended by offering that type of menu? Don't they know those are stereotypes of Black people?
I mean,
don't get me wrong. I love all those. I love the watermelon of cornbread and fried chicken. But, I mean,
well, yeah.
Those are Black stereotypes. I mean, you know, Black
well,
people, of course, are going to get offended, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I like those stuff, too. But,
we all do.
It is offensive. I think you're perpetuating the stereotype by saying we all do.
I mean, yeah. No, I'm talking about like everybody does. Everybody likes fried chicken and cornbread woman. Not only Black people, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, they taste good.
Yeah. And what made it even funny was at the end, they're saying like they're only gonna remove the watermelon, so they're gonna keep the fried chicken and cornbread on there, like. Then, like, that makes it even better. Like, that lessens the offensiveness of it. I mean, come on.
That's so stupid.
I mean, who thought that would be appropriate for them to do, for them to add a menu like that?
Who knows? I mean, people are stupid.
It's crazy, man.
There are some people who are dumb, I should say.
Shit. And, like, watermelon, that's, like, the true, that's, like, the, that's a major stereotype for Black people, you know, eating watermelons, you know. There was, remember that video that I sent you a year or two ago about this Black guy showing how Black people should eat watermelon?
I think that does kind of ring a bell to me.
Well, look at, I forgot the guy's name, but he basically shows you, you know, the proper way to eat watermelon. And from looking at the video, that doesn't look like that's the proper way to eat one. <It's>, like, as Black people, like, when we're amongst the white people and there's watermelon around, we try to avoid it. Like, I'm not going near that because I don't want white people to think that I like watermelon only. You know? Right? Am I wrong?
Well,
am I wrong?
Mean, there are black people that do that.
They're like, I'm getting the oranges instead.
Or an apple.
It's crazy, man. But moving on, George Zimmerman, he was scheduled to fight in a celebrity fight against DMX.
Yep.
But now it looks like today the promoter said that the fight has been canceled. Because I guess he's been getting death threats from people who don't want to see this boxing.
Who is?
The boxing promoter. The guy who's promoting this fight between Zimmerman and DMX. He said it's canceled. Because, you know, I guess people have been threatening him and his family that if it goes on, then, you know, that's his life.
I guess that's what they really want.
Yeah, but people don't want to see it. You know, people... Okay. I don't think we should be giving George Zimmerman any more publicity than he's already had.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. And he's not a celebrity, you know?
Yep.
He's a murderer.
Basically, yeah.
So,
I totally agree.
Yeah, it's a good thing that they canceled it because, I mean, if this fight had gone on, if it would have went on, a lot of people would have got in trouble for this.
I wasn't going to watch it, to be honest with you.
I would watch it just to see George Zimmerman get his butt whipped.
Yeah, but what about if he doesn't get his butt whipped? That's the risk you take.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking also, because DMX is pretty much a crackhead these days. So
allegedly.
So if Zimmerman had, you know, kicked DMX's ass, then DMX could never show his face ever again.
That would have been embarrassing.
Oh, that would be. That I could see it happening.
It's possible. There's a 50-50% chance. I mean, you know, if you're in a fight and they're both not professional fighters, I mean, I'm sure DMX, he's been in a lot of fights, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure both of those guys have been in a lot of fights, you know.
Yeah.
But DMX, I mean, there was nothing to gain from it, from fighting, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, I would have loved to see George Zimmerman get his ass kicked.
Well,
I would love to kick his ass.
A lot of people would love to see that.
Yeah.
A lot of people would love to see that, you know. But, you
know, I would love to kick his ass. Show him who's boss.
But that's the risk you take when someone's in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
You might win and you might lose.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, obviously there's a draw, but, you know, most cases there's a winner and there's a loser.
Yeah, you're right.
And if like you said, if DMX lost, man, that's basically the end of his career right there.
Oh, yeah.
All his street cred would have been gone.
Pretty much.
My goodness.
Yeah. Have to go into hiding after that.
Man.
But the good thing has been canceled. It's a good move by the promoter.
Yeah, we don't need to see that fight.
Yeah.
Give this guy a platform to... You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
let him hide.
This is not celebrity boxing. I mean, he's not a celebrity. He's, like you said, I mean, there's no reason why this is the supposed celebrity boxing thing would have happened because he's not a celebrity.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Agreed. But enough about Zimmerman talk. One of the Super Bowl babes and one of the girls that I would love to bang, Selena Gomez, reportedly she went to rehab last month because she was suffering from, I guess, love sickness over Justin Bieber. And that sickness led her to drinking alcohol and smoking weed and overdosing on Ambien. And I think the rehab program was for like 45 days, but she only stayed for 16 days, and she bailed on it, you know. And she's basically blaming Justin Bieber for being a bad influence on her. But Justin Bieber and his crew are saying that Selena Gomez is a straight up alcoholic, you know, and she needs to stop drinking, you know. So it looks like Selena Gomez has been like, she's been around Justin Bieber and people too much, because like Justin Bieber right now is he's a bad influence right now. The dude,
and the friends
is,
around him too.
Yeah, and his friends. True that. Yep.
And his parents aren't letting him. You know, they're young, so it's like they want to be his best friend, so they're letting him do whatever he wants to do. So
yeah,
that's another reason why that's going down.
Yeah, Selena Gomez, she needs to stay away from that kid, and she just needs to, like, you know, do not become a Lindsay Lohan, please. Because I don't want to see her, you know, become a Lindsay Lohan, go to court all the time, go to jail and party, you know. We don't want to see that, because I think Selena Gomez is very talented, and, you know, she's one of the up-and-coming stars. So I want to see her do good.
Hopefully she'll turn her life around.
Yeah, man. And grow into the she's a prospect right now, man.
Mm-hmm.
She is.
She's
like
fine.
Miguel Cabrera when he was on the Marlins.
Potential. A lot of potential.
Yeah, man. Like, don't ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
And another story, Terrell Owens, he just married his wife a month ago, and now his wife wants a divorce.
Wow.
Because she says basically Terrell Owens is a gold digger. And
a gold digger?
Yeah, well, you know, Terrell Owens, he filed for bankruptcy last year because, you know, the guy, he spent his money all on, you know, like fancy cars and houses. And
right, the fast lifestyle.
Yeah, fast lifestyle and friends, you know, and he doesn't have as much money as he did 10 years ago. Let's put it like that.
Right.
And so his wife is claiming that he borrowed $2 million in a loan, and he hasn't repaid her yet. And now,
wow.
You know, she plans on filing for a divorce and saying that she's heartbroken and basically T.O.'s a gold digger.
But they're married, so shouldn't the money be joint?
I guess she has all the money in the relationship. I guess she's giving him all the money. I guess he doesn't really have that much.
I guess so, because, I mean, it's usually the other way around. Like, you know, a woman spending the guy's money and...
Yeah.
You know, in that case, you know, it's, you know, especially like Judge Mathis, those type of judge shows, you know, they always rule in favor that, you know, whatever money is spent, whatever's bought within the marriage, it's joint.
Right.
So, for example, if a wife smashes her husband's computer, that's like she's smashing her own computer because it's joint. Everything is, you know, in a marriage is, you know, together.
Yeah, she's saying that he married her for money, so I guess, you know, it looks like that was probably the case, you know?
Either way, I mean, unless if she has a prenup or something,
I don't know.
I have no idea what's going on.
Weird. And also, what else is weird? There's accusations coming up again that Woody Allen molested his former stepdaughter.
Oh, his stepdaughter.
Dylan Farrow, when he was with Mia Farrow. And, you know, when these accusations first came out in the early 90s, Woody Allen, of course, denied it, and he took a lie detector test, and it proved that he was innocent at the time. But now Dylan Farrow is saying that, you know, He did molest her, and he would bring her into a closet, and he'd touch her certain areas on her body. But Woody Allen and his lawyers and his team are saying, no, you know, she's being manipulated by her mother, Mia, to say these things. and, you know, these things aren't true. But I questioned this. Woody, he had a relationship with Sun Yi when she was, like, a teenager. Yeah. So what makes you, like, how can he convince me that he didn't do that, those things with Dylan when he had an inappropriate relationship with a Sun Yi? So, you know, that makes you think right there that Woody Allen is, you know, is a pervert, basically.
That's what it seemed like.
Yeah. So I mean,
the case, but it does look like it's a strong case that, he did most likely do it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he did. I mean, Woody, I know he's a longtime Knicks fan, you know, but I can't. And you know, he's one of the greatest stand-up comedians, also, you know, of all time. He was great stand-up comic, but this, you know, I got to go with Dylan Farrell on this one. You know, Woody looks like he was a pervert.
So it seemed like, unfortunately.
And and who wants to be a predator? That's Woody.
Oh, you mean to catch a predator?
Who was that? Wait, what was that show on NBC?
To Catch a Predator.
To Catch a Predator. To Catch a Predator. So yeah, this not looking good for Woody right now. And finally, Valentine's Day is coming up this Friday. Will you have any lucky ladies? You giving any flowers, gifts, or any treats to?
Nah, I don't have a special lady this year. But I'm looking.
Yeah. Me either. But I mean, I'll get some girls at the job, a little something, something, you know. Yeah. Show my penis. Like, this best gift I can offer, you know. But I'll give him a little something, we'll see. But happy Valentine's Day for all you guys and girls who are celebrating this. It's this Friday, right?
Well, I think so.
This Friday, okay.
I'd have to check.
Yeah. But anyway, Will, you got any last thoughts?
Nothing really, just, happy Valentine's to, you know, people out there. And basically, check out my show, Sports of the Legend, 6 p.m. tomorrow. And check out IMAC every Saturday at 11 p.m. only on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, thanks, Will. So you heard the man. Listen to his show tomorrow at 6. And check out this show, IMAC, here on Saturdays at 11 p.m. So for me, IMAC, and Will, I'll see you next week. Peace.